Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Announcements! June 11th, 2022, NarthexCon is coming to Benton Park Cafe in St. Louis, Missouri. Registration is open, limited to 99 people. NLCast.com/Narthex for more information.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
This episode is brought to you by our patrons like Cara Howlett, who support the show on a monthly basis. Join the club and get patron-only bonus story stickers and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow.
Hey, this is RJ06 in the forums, and you're listening. Nobody's listening. I mean, that story show, sorry. I'll get it right one day, James. Then you can hire me on as your new co-host. Watch out, John.
Oh, watch out, John!
Hey!
Hey! This is that story show, people.
Hallelujah!
You're watching!
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this tweety house.
I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people, this is That Story Show, where we bring your real-life stories into the spotlight. It's episode 403, brought to you the week of February 11, 2022. I'm your host. My name is James Kennison, and my good friend is here.
Hey, James, I'm John, and I'm walking on sunshine.
I'm walking on sunshine. Uh-oh. Yeah. I'm walking on sunshine, and don't it feel good?
Oh.
I love it.
I was trying to play the horn section there. Apparently, I didn't.
That's all right.
Too good at that.
It's all right. You tried to toot your own horn.
Hey, it's true. I do it all the time. Apparently, allegedly, you've never heard me.
No, it's true. It's true. So So what's up in your life, man? How are things going for you?
You know, not bad.
Not bad.
We had a cold spell come through Noonan and had some icy conditions, but they didn't last very long. We even had some snow.
Oh, yeah?
It wasn't like last week at all, but it was, you know, recent.
Yeah.
And it didn't stay.
We had snow. We had like over a foot of snow. It's the most snow I've ever seen in my life. And
really,
my car, out of all three of our cars, mine was the only one that would move because it's all wheel drive. And St. Louis pretty much got just shut down, like schools and Chick-fil-A's and all kinds of stuff, man.
No way.
So anyway, we got a great show planned for you today, folks.
Very excited.
Today, I kind of didn't read the stories in advance. I wasn't feeling like being thorough. You guys don't know the work I do on show notes. I read through the stories, kind of filter out the ones that are not great, because I hate to say it, but not every story is a 10, you know? Sometimes
there's solid eight sometimes.
Yeah. Every now and then we get a low 7.5, you know, but it never goes below that, of course. But, so today is kind of an uncensored, unfiltered version. Now, obviously if we get anything that doesn't fit our standards, we won't continue. But we typically don't get garbage in our inbox. So, but I've had a rough week. Depression sucks, and I wanted to do a show so bad, but I had to do it the lazy way. So I just cut and pasted lots of stories. So it means, first of all, there's a chance for, you know, more stories to make it on the show that may not have made it on the show. Yeah. But it also means I don't know what we're about to read.
We're just like pulling open a grab bag and grabbing stuff. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. So it's a little that story show grab bag. And I like that. So anyway, here's an example. We got an opening story. It's from Emmeline from Indiana. She says it's called The Gray Lady. She says, I have 8 siblings and I'm the second oldest. Therefore, I have been good at kidding all of my 13 years. This story takes place about 3 years ago when I told my 4-year-old sister that I had been the voice of a character from an audiobook that we both listened to, whose name was the Gray Lady. She questioned me for a while, asking how I did it and if mom and dad knew about it. And I smoothly answered that I had snuck away to record and that dad and mom never knew because I only did it at midnight. So it's just like older siblings right there.
Yep.
I also said that they had put my voice through a filter, and that's why my voice sounds so different in the audio book.
Wow.
Got lies on top of lies.
Emmeline.
She totally bought it, by the way, of course, because she was 4 and she trusted you. Over the past years, I have asked her every once in a while if she remembers who the Gray Lady is, and she always answers with a sly smile, you voiced her, but I haven't told anyone, just like you said. She still thinks I'm telling the truth. If you read this on the podcast, though, then I will tell her the truth, or rather, you will. Also, I'm homeschooled. Could you play the song? I don't think I have it up. Right? No, here it is.
So where does your son go to school?
So there we go. There it is. Thanks for the awesome podcast, Emmeline from Indiana. That is hilarious. My daughter, we found out, used to lie to my son. And
really?
Yeah, they're 3 years apart. And so Jenna had an advantage, you know.
Yeah.
And one of the things she told them was she told him that the Santa Clauses at the mall were robots. Because he believed in Santa, you know, and where are all these Santas? Oh, they're robots. So
they're robots. That's,
he was terrified of them from that point.
He's terrified.
Forward. Yeah. There's robots.
It's the uncanny valley. They look so real.
Yeah, they do. And another thing she told him is that he was adopted, and then it gets kind of weird. She from a stuffy house. Now a stuffy is a stuffed animal in Jay's former baby language. So we don't know what a stuffy house is other than a house full of stuffies in Alaska. So he was adopted from a stuffy house in Alaska. And, he believed this for a long time and, until they were older and he finally brought it up in front of us and we were able to calm his nerves and tell him he wasn't adopted from, Alaska. We found him in a ditch somewhere, you know? So.
Stuffy ditch.
Yeah.
So. Anyway. Well, Emmeline, your little sister, whatever her name may be, here's the true story. She's not the Gray Lady.
No.
we get to tell that. I love revealing information on this show.
Yes. Yes. It is great. It is a good thing. So, yeah, if you have something you need to say to somebody, you know, email it in and we'll do it. Like if you need to ask somebody out that listens to the show. If you need to propose marriage, if you need to borrow $5, you know, just send in a voicemail or something and we'll do it. 2095 NL Cast is the number for now. We're going to work on upgrading our voicemail
situation, because we don't get voicemails anymore, and that's because our voicemail system it has not aged well. I was telling John about that earlier. We still use the same thing we did back in 2007, and it sounds terrible, and it's not, the audio just isn't usable. So we're working on it. We're working on it. With the thanks of our patrons, we get to look into services that we normally wouldn't get to look into. So, because using free services,
100 of them.
Using free services often means compromise, a lot of compromise. So it's nice to be able to look at as an option some paid services and see what they offer and stuff. But I still don't like paying for stuff. I still don't. Let's rewind the week. All right, it is that time. It's time to rewind the week, where we tell you a story from the last 7 days or so. Mine was from last week, because I was having troubles, man, with my computers. I ruined a laptop that I was trying to fix. I was trying to replace a fan in it, and I just destroyed it. I ripped a ribbon cable, and it was to power the laptop, and it was an expensive laptop too.
Oh, no.
Because I had paid for half of it, and my church had paid the other half because we were using it for church. And so I combined what I would have paid for a laptop and what they should have paid for a laptop together, and we got a super laptop.
Nice.
I know. And it was nice, and it lasted 2.5 years. And
2.5.
I know. It's terrible. The average lifespan of a laptop is 5 years. I've always guesstimated it's about 5 years. But anyway, so it started with that, and then I built my son a computer, and I donated some parts from an old system I had laying around, so he didn't have to buy every part. And I had a spare hard drive, and I took the graphics card out of my podcast machine, because my podcast machine is just for podcasting. It doesn't need a fantastic, great, 3D rendering card. So my logic was I would take it out of there, give it to him, and then just find some, piece of crap card to go in there. Well, I didn't know, but graphics cards are a weird thing to try to buy right now.
Yeah.
And
near impossible.
Yeah. So I bought one that back in the day would have been a decent price. It was under $300, but it wouldn't even push the resolution that my monitor is at. So I couldn't even fit all the things on the screen that I'm used to fitting on the screen, because I have to have Discord, I have to have my show notes, and I have to have the soundboard so I can play, things like this. I have to be able to do that. So anyway, long story short, I ended up in a, we have a micro center in our city, which is
we're
very lucky to have. It's a computer store. The closest thing that we ever had to it before that would have been a Circuit City, but this one's more focused on DIY kind of stuff. Like they sell parts galore. They sell
no DVDs or music.
No, it is all computers.
Computers.
Yeah. And, so I was in there and I was in line, and, I don't remember. I had a graphics card in one hand and, a power supply in the other. And I was just in line, and this guy in front of me was just, he was fine. He was quiet, but he was short, and he looked like he was a survivaler.
Survivaler.
I don't even know what else to say. Survivalist.
Survivalist.
Yeah. I like survivaler better.
I like that too. It adds an element of, I watched the TV show Survivor. And I was on it, and I made it.
Yeah, he was a survivaler. It sounds like something my young daughter would have come up with. But he was in front of me. He had a camo painter's cap on, and he had gray disheveled hair coming out from underneath it. And he had on a big jacket, and anyway, I had stepped out of line and come back, and the line hadn't moved. And the guys in front of us were talking about that, like, it's just taking forever. And so the guy turns around to me and says, "See that guy up there?" And I happened to notice, yeah, there was a guy at the counter. And he happened to be African American. And he says, "That guy's been eating up all their time. He's just been up there." And I said, "Well, I instantly know you're racist." Because he was just being hateful. And I said, "You know what, though? I said, if I had to bet between it being the guy's fault and the store's fault, I'm going to go with the store, you know, that it's the store's problem." And he didn't care for that. So he turned back around. But then he turned back around again, and he started talking about not graphics cards, but 32 megabyte cards. "Oh, they have 32 megabyte cards here. They're $4 each. They're really great. I tested one out." And before I even asked, and I sure didn't care, he said, I use them for some stuff I use them for. And the things I use them for is, one,
use fishing.
I hand them out to people. And I put Christian stuff on some of them.
Oh, no.
And yeah, exactly. Exactly. Great. And he said, "Then I put stuff about how bad this vaccine is on some of them."
Oh,
and
boy.
And then I put stuff about avoiding paying income tax. "Did you know that you pay income tax voluntarily because you are a dependent? You're considered a dependent of the government, and they don't tell you that when you turn a certain age, you can become independent as a government independent person, individual." and he goes on and on for the whole time we're waiting in line.
Oh, man.
And I'm starting to get a little bit racist too. I'm like, "Dude, get your crap together up there so I can move this line." No, I'm just kidding. Totally. No, they did good. They opened up another line because obviously it was the stupid store's fault. I mean, the guy knew what he wanted, and they weren't doing what he needed them to do. But the guy keeps going on and on about how we pay income tax. And I'm like, my wife is a, I wanted to say, you know, my wife is a daggum, accountant. And I've never heard her talk about this deal, you know? And then my next thought was, You're not paying taxes, are you? Like, at all?
No, I'm independent.
You're driving on my roads, you know. you're standing anyway. But the thing that really got me, though, is when he went on about the vaccine and how the horrible things the vaccine was doing. I was thinking he just disrespected me because I have had the vaccine. I don't have problems with people that don't. But I just wished at that moment that giant bug legs could have sprouted out of the side of my head, and I would have leaned in towards them and just said, "I've had the vaccine. What's the problem?" You know, just wanted to scare him to death.
You would have proved his point.
But I also fought the urge to say, "Oh, you're one of those weirdos," because he was weird about everything. I'm so glad he didn't tell me about his version of Christianity. I was not looking forward to that. And he told me very little about the vaccine, but very much. And out of those three topics, which one would you think was the most important to share? I would wager it would be the love and the acceptance and the transformation power of Jesus Christ. You know, Christianity, that would be the one that you would share with the guy behind you. But no, his passion was obviously not paying anything to the government. Well, he gets in line in front of me. He gets in line in front of me, and he's buying his cards, and the guy's like, the guy behind the counter will be like, "Is that cash or card?" And he goes, "Oh, it's always cash." And I'm thinking, this guy goes through his life just trying to preach his little bit of views on things to everybody, because that guy behind the counter wasn't looking for a mini sermon. He just wanted to know which button to push.
Yeah,
you know,
cash or charge, man.
And the guy goes on, he's like, "I don't want these big tech companies knowing my whereabouts, you know." And then he pulls out $100 bill, which I think is totally awkward and against, it should be against his nature, because it says that it's backed by the U.S. Treasury on there. You know, he's using government bills. Yeah. Uh-huh. So shouldn't he have made up his own, you know, since he's an independent guy? But
right. I bet you he paid that sales tax too, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did. So, and the guy checked it. It was $100 bill because he bought 10 cards and
about $4 each.
Yeah. So his bill rang up just under $50. He pulls out $100. The guy checks to see if it's counterfeit, and it's not. And I was disappointed. Dude,
you were crossing your fingers.
Yeah,
you should be counterfeit.
You should be making your own money if you have these convictions that you have. So
see that picture on there? That's not Ben Franklin. That's me.
That's my wife. Right. She's a looker, huh? Oh goodness. Boy. So anyway. There you go. That's my weekly update. I don't know. I didn't mean to tell the whole story.
Man, mine's going to be pale in comparison to that.
I just knew when he turned around and he started telling me, I was like, this is my weekly update. It's happening right now. And what can I do to make it better? And I couldn't think of anything. It was only afterwards in the car that I thought about turning into a bug-faced man and doing the vaccine scare thing. I should have started twitching my eye or scratching my shoulder where the sticker went in, you know, also known as a needle when you're not three. So anyway, he probably lives in a bunker somewhere, and he makes his 32 gig cards. That's a lot of information
on
Christianity. That's a lot of information on the vaccine. That's a lot.
Like a PDF only takes up kilobytes.
Yeah,
I can't imagine what he's got in that. It's probably a full-on presentation with
PowerPoint,
music, and PowerPoint.
He's probably got videos he downloaded from YouTube on there. But this is his thing. He goes around and hands these out to people and sparks conversations. So, you know, if he, I don't know, he might actually get to heaven and God's like, James, I wish you'd been more like Crazy Joe. Because Crazy Joe was handing out 32 gig cards about Christianity. Granted, he also thought the vaccine was the devil's pee, and he was trying to weasel his way out of income tax. But you know, I even talked to my wife about it. I was like, "Does what he was saying sound anything close to anything you've ever heard before?" And she says, "Well, I wonder if he was talking about opting out of Social Security," because she said that is something you can do. You can opt out of Social Security. They won't take it out of your check, but when you get old, you can't claim Social Security anymore.
Right.
And so maybe that's what he was talking about, but
Social Security is it's a big difference from paying your taxes.
But yeah, as far as I know, you know, if my wife said was, if there was something so great and so easy, then everybody would know about it. Yeah. And, you know, it wouldn't be just survivalers that would know about it.
Survivalers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're both going to get to heaven, except he's going to be on the other side of the gate.
Oh.
And Jesus is going to be like, see that guy over there? You had an opportunity.
Sorry,
I can't even finish. He was gonna make it to heaven, but now he's on the other side of the fence because
I didn't say anything. I didn't tell him.
No. He already. You can't.
How do you preach to people that think they're already saved? They're the hardest people in the world to talk to. Everyone in the South is going to hell, but they all think they're saved.
That's right.
It's true.
I mean, you've been here.
Yeah.
There's a church on every corner and they are all right.
Just because you stay in a garage, it doesn't make you a car, you know? Right. Oh,
yeah. Dude, not to trip on theology right now. This is a comedy show.
I thought I was saved until I was like 25. So, oh man. Anyway, James Forshee, I want to thank you for becoming an annual patron. I appreciate it. He became a Lucy. That's a $5 a month patron. And he got a 10% discount for paying annually. So if you're interested in becoming a patron and you want more stories, we tell more stories every single week. And the way you get at them is by becoming a patron. And we have membership plans starting as low as a dollar. Then it goes to three, then to five, and goes up from there. And you can give as much as you're capable of giving. We've had an influx of middle schoolers who have apparently been able to talk their parents into a dollar a month.
What?
And if you pay annually, you get a 10% discount. You end up paying less than $10 for an entire year of bonus content. I'm just saying, I want you to pay $5 a month. That's what I would hope from people. That's what I want. But if you're a kid and that's the only way you can get it, go for the dollar a month, man. It's the best deal on the internet as far as podcasting goes.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Pretty impressive, actually.
So, speaking of stories, though, let's do some.
Okay.
All right, this one's called The Fainting. And again, I didn't read
Sounds like a scary movie.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't want to hear it.
M. Night Shyamalan, you know, this guy faints all the time, but he finds out that when he's fainted, that's the real world, and he's been waking up into the fake world. So
that's a great movie idea. I want to see that.
Hi, I'm supporter number 99 of 100, and the episode is episode 403. So that means if you got supporters monthly, you would be getting four supporters every month. But the last 4 months, you would get five supporters, and it would last about 33 months to get 100 supporters. See what happens when I don't read these in advance.
Oh, wait, that's hard math, right?
I don't know what he's talking about. But anyway, I have a story. Okay, good. I'm glad that I didn't cut and paste a math problem. So, some backstory. I'm a fainter. Not like
I can relate.
Not like too gross stuff, but sometimes I will just pass out for like 10 seconds or more. You might need to go get a brain scan, buddy. The first time that I can remember was a long time ago. I was walking over a vent in the floor, and I just collapsed, and I woke up seconds later. I could tell it was seconds because someone was walking up the stairs beside me, and when I woke up, they were up the stairs. So somebody completely passed him by and didn't even check on him.
It's like narcolepsy.
I happen to know he is a middle school kid. So somebody let a child pass out, and they
probably a fellow child.
They just kept on going. Yeah. Maybe so.
Pulled their phone out and recorded it so they could upload it later. Yeah, but
check it out. This kid's a fainter.
This kid just was walking in past a vent and passed out. This is funny.
So the second time, I was on the third stair from the ground with my leg out. Oh, boy. I collapsed and woke up seconds later. the final one was, I thought, hey, why not write to that story show? And I was almost to the top of the stairs when I collapsed onto the top of the stairs. Seconds later, I was awake. Bye. Hope this makes it on the show. Sorry if it was too long. P.S. I am a smart middle schooler. All right, we'll play.
There's something with stairs with this guy, though.
Yeah.
I'm concerned.
Well, maybe it's that thing, you know, when you stand up too fast and you get a little lightheaded, you know. Maybe he just has a problem where instead of feeling like he's going to pass out, he does pass out. I don't know.
An altitude change.
But I owe him a middle school drama song, so.
Move out of the way, stupid.
So there we go. There we go.
Wow. Well, James, be careful, James Forshey. Maybe wear a helmet when you go up and downstairs. Just saying. Well, I got a story here from Abigail, and this is about buried treasure.
Oh, boy.
And I love treasure, and I love buried treasure. And I want to read this. Abigail says, I have three cats. My cat, Jerry, is by far the best hunter. He's caught everything from lizards and crickets to fully grown rabbits and crows. Wow. Before this story occurred, I recall joking with my brothers that Jerry would drag home a deer one day. While I meant this as jest, it ended up being truer than I thought.
Oh.
It was a cool evening. And I was in my backyard with two of my cats, Benji and Jerry. That's two cats too many, by the way. I'm just kidding. I have three, but two of them live outside. I was walking back and forth through an empty flower bed and the adjacent grass, dragging a long strand of paracord behind me. The cats were competing to see who was the quickest and stalked and attacked the rope as it slithered across the ground. That sounds like fun. After a long time of playing, I took a break, leaving the cats to their own devices. A few minutes later, I noticed Jerry pawing at something in the dirt in the flower bed. At first, I thought it was a root, but then I noticed that it stretched when Jerry pulled at it with his claws. When I came over to investigate, I saw that he had exposed a tiny patch of grayish fur.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
This is scary. Curious, I grabbed a nearby rock and hit Jerry over the head. No, I'm just kidding.
Down with cats!
It's you in that dirt, Jerry. I grabbed a nearby rock and I helped him dig it up. As I started to unearth the object, I discovered that it was of notable size. Much
Sorry, gosh, so unprofessional. I tried not to do it. Oh. I'm so sorry, everybody.
I thought you were scared at first.
That's the end of the show. Right there. I just canceled the whole show. Nobody's going to want to listen anymore.
First live sneeze on that story show.
I kept trying to reach for the mute button on my mic, and I couldn't make it. And then and me leaning forward put my mouth closer to the microphone, and I'm like, it's going to blast everybody. And so I pulled away and turned my head, and it was still loud. So
everybody in the chat room is saying, bless you.
It's because I expelled a demon. Some of them are wiping the
sneeze off
of
their screen because apparently made it to it.
Sorry. Anyway, please continue. There's gray fur, and somebody killed a cat. So
No. Abigail grabbed a rock, and she was helping to dig up this thing that's in this flower bed. And as she says, it's much larger than she had initially anticipated. And it was no mouse or squirrel, by the way. Then I finally unearthed the object. I was left staring at a dirty, but quite fresh. James, you ready for this?
Dirty butt. That's what I thought you said.
No, dirty.
I was left looking at a dirty butt.
Is a dirty butt right underneath this. Ugh. No, it was a dirty and quite fresh deer head.
Ah!
James, a deer's head.
Holy smack.
After a few seconds of trying to process this discovery, I left Jerry, perhaps unwisely, with the deer head and went to find my mom. I brought her outside, and soon my brothers also arrived at the scene to gawk, gag, and eventually help with the disposal. But first, we had to drag the cats away from the corpse.
corpse, the decapitated corpse. Actually, if it's a Was head, it? Just a head, what do you say about it? Is it debodytated?
I don't know. Is that what she says in the story, that it was decapitated, or was it
no,
the entire deer?
No, it's just the deer's head.
Okay.
It's the deer's head. Yeah, they had to drag the cats away from it.
So apparently. Weird.
See, let's see. How did the head get there? That's what I'm wondering. Yeah, why is there
there's a story.
In the flower bed?
The story.
We didn't want them to get any diseases from the deer, she says. Plus, it was getting dark. We had realized that a pack of wolves or coyotes must have buried the head in the flower bed for later.
What?
Yikes. And we didn't want the cats around when they came back. Jerry especially was very disappointed that he would not get to eat his prize. And for days afterwards, Benji and Jerry circled the spot where the deer head had been, searching for their lost treasure. Please pray for the garbage collectors who took our trash out that week. I hope you all enjoyed the story. Yes, we did.
Animals are so gross.
Deer head. Now, why would they? I mean, that would freak me out. If I went out in my yard and started digging around and there's a deer head there, I would think like somebody had put a curse on my yard or
it's
something.
It's the country mob. You know, how in the mobsters put a horse head in your bed. So the redneck mob puts a deer in your flower bed, a deer head. And
we're going to show that feller out there.
Yeah.
Right there, man.
That's
driving
what
that Dodge pickup. He should be in a Ford.
Yeah, she sent me a photo, and she's actually just posted it in the chat room. I had no context because I didn't read the story. But yeah, there is a deer head.
Deer head in there.
It's all covered in dirt. So, wow. Hey. Wolves though buried it. I don't know
wolves
they did
coyotes.
That. Yeah, I don't buy that part.
I guess they're all, like, you know how dogs will bury a bone, right?
Do they, though, really? Have you ever had a dog bury a bone that you've known of?
I did. Well,
we get that from cartoons.
I had a dog that would he would cover it up. Like, I'd give him these chewy, you know, like these leather hide.
Okay. So they do
bone things. And he'd bury it so it would get softer.
Oh.
And then he'd pull it out. Yeah.
Weird.
Maybe that's what they were doing, hoping that the deer head would get softer.
I'll tell you, it reminds me when I go to my grandma's house, we always went, you know, she lived off the Suwannee River in Florida and in Dixie County. I mean, can you get any more southern than way down upon the Suwannee River in a county called Dixie?
Far away.
The city was called Old Town, and it was way back. So we'd drive past farms and past just open space and anyway, there would be tons of fences just made out of wire, you know, just to keep, I guess, animals in or out or whatever. And I remember for a number of years, we only went to visit her a couple times a year, but there was a bear head just crunched down on top of one of those poles, those fence poles.
Oh.
And it lasted quite, you know, at least 3 years, because I remember we'd look for it. We're like, where's the bear head? And
it's gross.
And it eventually, you know, I guess rotted away or whatever. But yeah, I was like, somebody killed a bear, or maybe it died on the side of the road or something, and somebody just had the spare time to pull over and pull out a knife and, you know what we're gonna do today, son? What, dad? We're gonna cut this bear's head off and stick it on a pole. All right. Okay.
Well, you know, sometimes when somebody loses something, you kind of put it in an obvious space.
Anybody lose this?
Hey, some bear lost his head. Let's put it up here on his pole.
Oh, yes. Very true. I got a story called Fake Christmas. It's from Luke Mainka. Mainka. I said it properly, apparently.
Nice.
Included a pronunciation. Hey, James and John, I'm currently on episode 187, and I wanted to send in a story. It was the middle of summer, and my brother woke me up at like 6 o'clock, and he dragged me out of bed, and he made me cover my eyes and said it was Christmas. me being 7 years old, I believed him, so I went to my parents and woke them up. And they yelled at me, and I got a scolding. Luke Mink. That's definitely a middle school drama there.
It's Christmas. Oh, man, I should do that to my boys sometime. I'll go in their room at 3 or 4 in the morning. Hey, guys, wake up. It's Christmas. Been sleeping too long. Let's run out and get our presents.
Yeah, the thing about it is, should Luke have been gotten the scolding, or should have Luke's brother, you know, should his brother have gotten the scolding? I think initially maybe you're going to yell at Luke as a parent who just got woke up. Luke, what are you doing, man? It's not Christmas. But Billy said it was. Oh, we're going to kill Billy tomorrow. Just tell him, tell him on your way to bed that he's dead.
I think Luke must have left something out of the story. Like he was beating up his brother.
Yeah.
And that's why he got the scolding. Not because they lied to him.
I don't know. Go ahead and read. This one's called Face Full of Shark. I can't wait to hear what this one's about.
Yeah. This comes to us from Lily.
All right, Lily.
Hey, James and John.
Your title promises quite a bit. So it better pay off.
Face Full of Shark. It's Lily Lingstad again, and I have a story that takes place a couple of months ago. Yes, this is middle school drama.
All right.
I can't read like the middle schoolers do, but
that's fine. Just read normal. It's not, it's not spelled like a middle schooler. So
no, it's not. It's got punctuation.
I save that for when they just don't even try. So,
okay. Well, there was this boy that was always looking at me. He is very nice, though. Might need this later in the story. Here's some background info. A couple months ago, we went on a field trip to the Minnesota Zoo. While me and my group were walking in, the teacher came up to us and said, "We're all going to the aquarium first. Yay!" So we did, and there they have a pond with rocks where you can hang over and touch the sharks.
Whoa.
You can hang over and touch the sharks that are swimming around in the pond? That is insane. Oh. I've heard of, like, you know, the petting pool and stuff where they have non-dangerous critters that you can stick your hands in.
Right,
but sharks?
These sharks have Australian accents, and they want to eat ya.
Yeah, there he is. She says these are sand tiger sharks, and they never bite anyone.
Yeah, not yet, until they put them in the freaking touch pool. It's like, now we're going to get an appetite for flesh.
What if somebody's got a scratch on their hand and it bleeds in the pool a little bit? And
thanks. Like, yes.
Feeding frenzy. Not only is it a petting pool, but it's also a feeding pool. Hope you didn't need that hand. Anyways, Lily continues, "I was leaning over the side of the pond petting the sharks." That's just crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't want to pet a shark.
I know. And she pulled back a bloody stump. Oh! She's petting the sharks. And when I look up, there's that boy just looking at me. So I waved like any good-natured person would do.
With my stump?
He too had been leaning over, petting the sharks, holding himself up with his hands. And when he waved back, he wobbled and then fell face first into the pond. Lily said, "I felt so guilty. So I turned around and I said, I have to go to the bathroom." And I ran like there was no tomorrow. Guess what, James?
What?
That boy hasn't looked at me since.
Oh.
She says, "Well, that's my story. Keep up the good work or I'll come to your house and personally sing all my choir songs until your ears bleed."
Oh, goodness.
Hope it makes it on the show.
Oh, there's our bell.
Sincerely, Lily.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. That was better. That was good. Face Full of Shark. Perfect title. Perfect story. Oh,
I still can't get past that. A shark petting pool.
I just love his version of the story because he was like, you know, there's this girl I like and she's really cute and everything. And we were by this shark petting pool and I was just absentmindedly petting a shark, not thinking about the fact that I could die at any moment. And I was leaning on both arms like you do because I'm a little short and, you know, I had to kind of hop up to the edge there. And she waved at me and it was like my heart pounded and I was like, I have to wave back. And I did. I lifted my support arm. And right down into the shark infested waters I go. So my face is gone, but which is why I can't look at her anymore. Because I don't have a face.
Little did we know that would be the best part of the story. And when he looked up, she was gone. She was gone.
Was it all a dream?
No more eyes.
Was it all a dream? I don't know. But yeah, I'm the guy. I went to our local aquarium a few months ago, and I think I told the story. They had these I don't even know what they call them, nurse fish or something, that nibble on the dead flesh. That's, you know, skin. And apparently women put their feet in baths of them and they eat the,
they exfoliate your feet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they had it to where you could put your hand in there, and them little jokers latched on and started kissing my hands. And I started screaming, like, well, not screaming. It was more like, aah! It was very manly. Yeah. It was very,
very manly scream.
Yeah. It might have been a little higher pitched than that, but it was something like that. It sounded a lot like that. But yeah, I ain't touching no shark. I've never seen a friendly shark. I don't care what. Never bit anybody in the history of mankind. Yeah, I'll be the first one. That would be my luck. And
you can't say they don't have teeth, because I've seen those teeth.
Yeah, and there would be a curse. Just my luck. And I would be a shark man from then on. So, yeah. Anyway, this is called Sump Pump, and I'm not looking forward to it, because I did read the first sentence or two, and he warns that it's gross. So,
oh, goody.
And it's long. It's a very long story. So here we go. This is what you get when you tune in to a story that where I just said I cut and pasted crap.
I grabbed it out of the bag, and here it is.
Yeah, here it is. My name is Liam. I've been listening to your podcast ever since the Nobody's Listening days. So that's previous to 2014. So I must say that I have laughed hard and loved every episode y'all have put out so far, he says. But you better keep your crap
this
together.
One might be the exception.
Yeah. It's always a pleasure to hear the funny stories from people all over the world. You guys are the best. Well, there we go. That was a good story.
You.
Let's move on.
End it right there.
There it is. Being that I've listened to so many funny stories on your show, I thought it was high time that I share my own story from my wild childhood growing up near Seattle, Washington. Be forewarned, he says. This story is quite nasty, and I do mean that quite seriously, but it is sure to deliver some good gags and laughs, but mostly gags. One thing I will guarantee you is it might possibly be the nastiest poo story you've ever heard, I've taken great pleasure in detailing. Okay. So, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, if it gets too much, I will stop reading it. I will.
Okay.
Here we go. It's the year.
It might be a story only the live listeners get to hear.
The year is 2013. The setting, my house. The time, probably the afternoon. I don't really remember this exact detail. I was 13 years old, and I was just hanging out with my dad while the rest of my family was out for the day. Being that we had nothing to do and that my dad was a self-proclaimed project guy, he got the idea that we should check out the septic system in our basement garage, as it had been acting up lately. So,
hey, kids, let's go downstairs and check out the septic system.
Awesome, Dad!
Fun.
So much better than you know, iPads. So
it's a slow day. Come on.
Here's a little background on our septic system. Good, good. That's why the story's so long, because we have background on the septic system. Most people in our neighborhood were hooked up to the city sewage system, but not us. We were lucky folk. We had a special tank built into the floor of our garage, which would house the remnants of one's food before being pumped out of our house into a separate sewage container, who knows where. So, yeah, that's basically the way they work. And, I grew up with a septic tank, and the grass always grew a little higher over the septic tank. So
the grass is always greener over the septic tank.
Yes, it was. As we were the only people in our neighborhood with this system, we had some issues with our sewage on occasion. Now, my dad dubbed our special tank in the garage the sump pump, probably because it rhymes and it sounds ominous and gross. Well, that means there was a sump pump in there, too. It means submergible pump.
There is such a thing.
Yeah. So back to the story. Anyway, our system had been backing up recently, and my dad thought it'd be a great bonding experience for us to work together at unclogging the turd and other nasty things in the sump pump. So was there one? known as the Turd.
The Turd. Ezel's our little brother.
Yeah.
That's what we called him.
He's a giant.
He's the Turd.
He's a giant.
Love to swim in there.
He's a giant dumper, and he just puts out these turds that barely go down the hole in the
turds. It's a funny word.
Yeah, it is. It is. So anyway, we put our oversized sleeveless shirts and paint stained jeans on and made our way down to the garage. So they didn't dress up. They dressed down. They had, this is our sump pump outfit. It's the latest fashion. So
oversized sleeveless shirts.
Yeah.
I don't know why they, I don't know. Okay.
I don't either. Anyway, the story doesn't
to the
get
pool?
Any, yeah. The story doesn't get any better from here. So hold on to your butts.
Okay.
As we got down there, a horrible smell flowed into our nostrils. To give some context, I remember imagining the smell of it as a wild animal that had raided a taco buffet, thrown up, and died in our basement. Luckily and unluckily, that was not the case. We both had made our way over to the sump pump, and my dad grasped a large lever on the lid of the tank and yanked it back. And when he opened the lid, inside was the nastiest thing I've ever seen in my life. Those under the age of 15, you have been warned. Well, we're 10 and up, so we should be good. Inside was a lovely looking brown stew of abominations. That's not too bad. It's not too bad.
I've seen inside things and I've just.
Yeah. I would have expected it to be green. Oh, why did that hit me weird? That one hit me weird. But
it's hitting me already. I just.
But God had much better plans for our sump pump. To put it lightly, it was filled with thick. It just had stuff in it, and it was floating around, and there was white mold on everything with black specks.
Okay.
I'm lightening the load for your brains, everybody. The smell and look of the nasty sewage was so bad, I think even Satan would have looked away and cringed in disgust. Well... he and I are related and I'm having a hard time with it. So yeah, definitely. So what does my dad do? The only thing he could do, he put his hands in it.
What?
Why? His bare hands.
No, not his bare hands.
What the heck?
You don't ever do that.
So, this was a reminder,
on, right?
No, it was a reminder to me that there is indeed a fine line between bravery and stupidity. As he worked his hands in the, tank of despair and forgotten hopes and dreams, I stood by to assist him if needed. I would be slowly backing away.
I'd like, Dad, thanks for the tour. I'm going back upstairs.
Yeah, we you live down here now. this is your home.
I'm gonna tell Mom that you're gonna come back upstairs without any hands.
Yeah. We're gonna toss down deer heads once in a while for you to eat, and that's all you get. Anyway, the whole time keeping my nose plugged and praying that this would be over soon. Eventually, my dad pulled his hands out and dried them with an old rag, wondering what the issue was with our sump pump. And he soon looked over to the side and saw a plug in the wall that was connected to the sump pump, which is to say we didn't know what that was for. He reached for it and he unplugged. And that's when the bowels of Hades were let loose upon us.
Oh, no.
Gallons of moldy poo and stuff erupted, literally. From the open lid of the sump pump, the remnants of the sewage waste splashed upon the walls, floor, and ceiling of our garage. It was all over within a few seconds, but the damage had been done. Luckily for me, I had only gotten my pants and my shoes soaked through. That's all. It was much worse for my dad because when he had pulled,
he stuck his bare hands in it. Yeah, that's why
he had pulled the plug. His head had been directly over the opening of the sump pump.
Please don't continue.
I saw him stand up and turn around to face me, and I kid you not when I say that he was covered from head to toe with moldy feces. His clothes were soaked through. Bits of stuff was dangling from his beard. Oh, that hit me weird. That hit me weird. And he took a moment to spit out. Yeah, okay. I still can't believe he didn't gag once the entire time. Truly a man of steel, and I am proud to call him my dad. I'm glad my dad's dead. That's what I want to say. If this is what dads are, I'm glad mine died. After standing for a minute in silence, we both trudged out of the garage back upstairs so we could take turns showering. My dad had to shower a total of 3 times before he didn't stink anymore. It was the nastiest thing either of us has had to experience, but we always laugh when we retell it, especially when others hear it for the first time. The faces they make are priceless. Yeah, and the tears flowing down their eyes and their decision to never come to a dinner party at your house ever again. It's also there, but thanks again, guys. Y'all are truly the kings of clean comedy. Not anymore. I hope Thank this you. Makes it on the show so I can cackle at your reactions. If you hate me for this, yes, we do. I won't care, as my work has been done. If this story doesn't get on the show, I don't blame you. It still tends to gross me out, even to this day. I hope to add some more stories eventually. You're unwelcome. You're not allowed to send anything else.
As long as they're not like this, you can send them. Let them be funny.
No, sorry, John. I'm the gatekeeper. And
yeah, you go. Okay, yeah.
He's not getting through.
James says no. Sorry, Liam.
You're on the other side of the fence now.
You're gonna have to get a pseudo. You're on the other side. You're gonna have to get a pseudo name when you want to send anything in.
Yeah.
Change your email address too.
I'm a part of a family of 8, and I have some wild stories to tell. Keep up the great work, guys. Liam Matthews. Liam!
Thanks, everybody. I think now's a perfect time to introduce our sponsor, BetterHelp.
Yeah, if you need counseling after that,
yeah,
go to BetterHelp.com. Yeah. Oh, I told you it was long, and it was gross. I softened it. That sounds weird, too. I tried to soften it up for you, like his dad did with his bare hands, but break up some of the clumps there. But anyway, what in the world?
I hope he shaved his head and his eyebrows and took that beard off and bathed in Clorox.
Man, if I was his wife, he would never touch me again. There would be no way. It's just no, like
if
we've said it
my
before.
Dad, I would have to, you know, whatever the opposite of I
love
don't know,
is,
but
whatever the opposite of love is, that's what I would have to start showing him. Well, we've said it before on the show that there are times when something is used for a certain thing, it becomes attached and becomes for that thing, and when your entire body is coated in fecal matter, you now belong to the night. You belong to the sewer. You are now a sewer dweller, and you need to stay down there and have your meals and make a little bed out of hay and whatever else. And just, that's where you belong now. Where's your dad? He's down in the sump pump, you know, or he's down
in
there.
The sump pump.
He's down there messing with stuff. He keeps things going. Yeah. I mean, him and Raphael and Leonardo and Donatello and they're down there fighting Shredder. Yeah. So anyway,
I don't know, man. I can hardly even, like, if the toilet's clogged, I don't even like to touch the plunger thing.
Yeah.
Without some kind of gloves.
That's
and stuff.
True.
And
that's true.
Like, plunger should be disposable as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, why would you reuse those? But they don't make them disposable. That's gross. Anyways, I'm getting off that subject. Can I read the next story?
Sure. Let's okay. Act like the last one never happened.
Yeah.
I'm happy again now.
What story?
What story?
Hey, this is a cute story about elves.
Good.
Elf terror. Oh. This comes to us from Adlin in Alaska. From Alaska, Adlin.
Sweet.
Love it. I've been to your state before. It's great. You know, people in Alaska, they look down on the rest of the country.
Yeah, they do.
They call us the lower 48.
Oh.
Yeah. I wonder what Hawaiians call us. Anyways.
Invaders.
Elf. Invaders. It's true. Adlin says, hi, That Story Show. This is Adlin from Alaska. I am a homeschooled middle schooler, so feel free to play whatever sounds you wish.
Okay, I'll play homeschool.
So where does your son go to school?
Okay, there we go.
All right. Yeah. It seems like we've got a lot of homeschool and middle school stories.
Well, that's what happens when you don't check in advance, when you just copy and paste. We get a lot of stuff from middle schoolers that doesn't make it on the show. So here we go.
Well, this is your this should be a special middle school episode then, and homeschool. She says, I know that it's past Christmas, but I'd like to share a story about the time my dad freaked my little sister out. You mean there's only one time? That's what dads do. Yeah. We had an elf on the shelf, and my dad would move it around the house. My sister was already terrified of this thing, but my dad, my dad decided to go the extra mile.
Awesome.
Another crucial detail, we had bunk beds, and my sister had a bottom bunk. So my dad decided to scare the crap out of my dad decided to scare the crap out of my sister by tucking the elf into the top bunk and flipping it upside down so that it was looking at her. Imagine we're all getting into bed and there's this elf staring down at you. That's apparently what happened. Needless to say, that elf is in the trash now, and we still talk about it to this day.
Yeah, those stupid elf on the shelf elves look a little too much like ventriloquist dummies, you know? They just have this unflinching look and this smile that never moves, but a face that you can imagine is moving as soon as you close your eyes, you know? You'll never see it, but, you know, your imagination is just going, that thing is up to something. It's moving around during the night. And that's what ventriloquist dummies do. That's what these things do.
They get out and talk. And I've never done the elf on the shelf thing. I think he came along just past, you know, the time where my boys would be interested in it. I thank God for that. But
my grandmother did it back when I was a kid. Yeah, she had.
Really?
Yeah. She never moved them around or anything. She would just put them always in the same spot. There was one or two of them. That she had, and it was never called Elf on the Shelf or anything like that. It had no, you know, marketing or anything. It was just the character, and she had them up in the living room. And I remember asking her, "What are those?" And she says, "They talk to Santa and tell you if you've been good or not." And what? I was like, "Whoa," which was weird because it was at grandma's, and I'm like, "Well, that's kind of smart to install a security system over here at my grandma's house to make sure I'm still being good." So.
Right.
But yeah, I think they're an old thing that somebody rewrapped and updated and learned how to make money off of is the thing. So
smart.
Anyway, this one's from Oscar. It's called Backwards Bike Ride and a Spider. That's what it's called.
Backwards Bike Ride and a Spider.
Yeah, because one of the other things I do, folks, is I give titles to the stories. Well, all of these titles came from the listeners themselves. So.
Wow. That's
what he called it. Backwards bike ride and a spider. So
face full of shark.
Sometimes I try to make them funny. I'll say backwards bike ride and I don't know. I just try to make them connect or rhyme or, you know, whatever, alliteration somehow. Hello, James and John. This is not very regular contributor Oscar. One day, I was riding through the woods with my sister. Everything seemed normal, but I was in for quite a ride. I was just riding along through the woods when I got onto a hill. Insert doom sound. Okay. I decided the hill was too steep to ride down, so I decided to hold on down my brakes. When I reached for my handbrakes, they weren't there.
What?
I quickly looked down at my handlebars and I saw they were flipped around. So I used my thumbs to hold down the brakes. Remember that I was speeding downhill very fast. Then as I reached the bottom of the hill, something brown and long-legged crawled down from my helmet. It was a spider. I reached my hand up to my place and tried to fling it off, but I didn't get it. So I reached up to my face again and flung it off my face. Thanks for reading, Oscar.
Move out of the way, stupid.
So, definitely a middle school drama right there, folks.
Oscar, that sounds dangerous. I hope that you will check your helmet next time.
I hope you survived.
Brown recluse.
Thanks for including your story into our show. You're always welcome as a human being. But yeah, I like that he put his hand up to his place and tried to fling it off. That's my favorite line in the story.
I put my hand up to my place.
To my place. Know, place. My spider place. I have a spider place. That is
spider place.
Yeah. So what did we have? Let's review real quick. We had a a girl who pretended to be the gray lady in a story.
Uh-huh.
We had a kid that fainted like 15 times in one story.
Every time he climbs the stairs, apparently.
He just can't handle it. We had a deer head that was discovered in a backyard. We had a fake Christmas where Luke got in trouble and it wasn't even his fault. We had a face full of shark. My favorite. It's probably going to be the title of the episode. Face full of shark.
Face full of shark.
And sump pump, which will go down in my history as one of the worst stories I've ever had to read. But
that
I
was so bad.
It was terrible. I'm done with poop stories for a while. There comes a point where listeners will send in stories that they're reminded of when they hear stories on the show. And they'll be like, oh, I have a poop story. So I have
everybody's got a poop story.
So occasionally I have to ban certain topics from the show.
Yes.
And I don't throw them away. I save them. And that way fresh, you know, content will come in. And that way people are like, oh, we had a deer head buried in our backyard, you know, and that kind of story will come in instead of, oh, dude, you thought that poop story was bad. You know, let me send in my poop story. It will knock you for a loop. So anyway, and then we had a backwards bike ride and a spider.
Don't forget the terrorizing elf.
Oh yes, I forgot about the terrorizing elf. That was pretty funny. But backwards bike ride was a little misleading because he wasn't riding backwards. It's just his handlebars had slipped. His little brakes had slipped around on the other side of his handlebars. Yeah. So, you know, I would have retitled that. I don't know what. I can't do it right off the top of my head. So
scary spider ride.
My place. My spider place. So anyway, that is the end of this episode. And I'm glad, kind of, because it means I don't have to read any more poop stories. So I'm sure you have a funny life story, don't you? Everybody does. Whatever your story is, send your stories, email or audio to thatstoryshow@gmail.com. Thatstoryshow.com is the website. Review the show at review.nlcast.com. Thanks to our patrons for your support, with special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Jennifer Kennison, Eric Kube, Carrie Wright, and Christopher Tynan. Support the work we do and get more stories. I mean, that's just what it's all about. More stories, more show. At patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful happens to you, don't get stressed, don't get depressed. Just think, you know what? My dad's beard had poo clumps in it. I think I should share that with the world. This belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, John.
Thanks, James.
Yeah. So
I hope I get my appetite back. It's supposed to be pizza night tonight.
Yeah, that's same here. I'm pretty good at scrubbing it clean, compartmentalizing. Yeah, and I think it helps that I read it out. So, but anyway, I was glad to be able to do a show.
Me too. Thank you.
No, thank you, man. Thanks to all our listeners.
Yeah, especially the ones that showed up on a Friday night.
On the live show. We appreciate you guys. And we love all our listeners. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.